Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Bible said this in Job chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You know what that means tonight? This is what that verse right there means tonight. It means that every person sitting in here, your days is going to be full of trouble. You said, "Preacher, I didn't come to hear that tonight." Well, I'm just giving you the Bible tonight. Amen. That's what the Word of God said, that man that is born of a woman is a few days, and those days will be full of trouble. Father, help us tonight. I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd use us. Father, as we preach tonight and we look at the precepts of thy Word, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bring back thy remembrance, the things that we've studied, and God, we'll give you the praise. Help your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. And Brother Robert, remind me at the end to open the doors to the church. And we got one want to join tonight, and I don't want to forget that. Amen. And I want to look at this tonight. We're really just going to use Job chapter 14, verse number 1, as a launching point and as a text verse, a key verse through this whole study. We're going to be in John some tonight, in Genesis some tonight. We're just going to jump around. And that'll be all right as long as you're in context. Amen. And give you some things. I thought about this. When we think about our life in general tonight, I believe we could say this. Our life is made up of seasons. Our life is made up of seasons. This past week, my wife and I was spending some time with Pastor Broyhill and his wife. And, man, I love Pastor Broyhill. He's just such a good friend of mine and a mentor of mine. But we were spending some time with him, and we was talking about the girls and them growing up, and he made this statement. He said, "Preacher," he said, "your life is just made up of seasons. That's what it's made up of." And I found it interesting that he said that, because I'd actually been studying on that. Here's the way one described it. They said it this way, and I tend to agree with them on the biggest part of this. It said, "We are born, and for the first 18 years of our life, our parents take care of us. From 18 to 25, we're trying to figure out what we want to be and where we want to be in life. From 26 to 40, we start a family and try to figure out how to be parents. At around 45, we begin thinking about, did I do okay raising my children? And we begin worrying about them making good career choices and relationship choices. The next season, you begin playing with grandchildren and learning about the empty nest. Then you start another season of your life where you're taking care of those that raised you, and now you're helping them if you've outrun them in this race. Then comes the season where the ones that you raised, the ones that you invested in, begin to take care of you." You know, when you think about that tonight, boy, that's about the circle of life. That's about the way the seasons of our life go. You say, "Well, preacher, why would you even say that?" Excuse me tonight. Because our life is made up of seasons. That's what it's made up of. And, man, you know, there's sometimes that we go through happy seasons. There's sometimes we go through dry seasons. There's sometimes we go through hard seasons, but our life is made up of seasons. It's no secret that seasons of suffering can leave us feeling alone. They can leave us feeling confused. They can leave us wanting answers, trying to find a way out. And we long for comfort and relief during those times. Grief comes in many shapes and sizes. I thought about this. Grief can come because the death of a loved one, including a child or a spouse, a parent, a family member, a friend. Grief can come from a miscarriage. Grief can come, I thought about this, grief can come from being barren tonight. I believe that Anybody that's married, I believe that according to the Bible, it said be fruitful and multiply. And if you can, I believe that you should do that. But not everybody is blessed with that. And because of that, man, grief can come from being barren. And we see that in the Word of God. We can see that grief can come from infertility. We can see that grief can come from a diagnosis of a life-altering illness, a loss of a career, a betrayal of a friend, a child rebelling against the Lord. These different things can bring grief into our life. I thought about this as I began studying, and I'm sure some of you has read some of these things before, but psychologists says that there are at least five stages that most people experience in grief. Now, you said, preacher, are you here to give us everything from a psychologist tonight? No, I'm here to give you the Word of God tonight, but I do believe that God has enabled some people with a knowledge to help us based off the authority of God's Word, and it's all right to talk to them every once in a while if they base it off the Word of God. Amen. I thought about this, those five stages that people experience during grief. Number one, there's the stage of denial. This cannot really be happening to me at this time in my life. They deny what's happening. Number two, there is anger. How could God allow this? How could my loved one do this to me? How can this be going on? And that stage of anger comes in their life. And can I just say this tonight? If you've ever dealt with grief very much, you're probably replaying some of these things in your mind right now. There's denial. There's anger. There's bargaining. And what I mean by that is this. That word means to negotiate the terms or condition of a transaction. Maybe something like this. Maybe if I had done this or if I had done that, I could make this situation change. If I would have just simply done this, if I would have done that, we can if anything to death. Are you with me? The bargaining. Then there's number four, there's the stage of depression. There's no use even trying to go on. Nothing I do will ever reverse this loss. There is that depression stage that they go through. Then fifth of all tonight, when we look at grief, there is the stage of acceptance. There's the stage of acceptance. This is my new reality. I will receive the help that I need from the Lord, and I will go on with His help. And I say this to you tonight, that stage of acceptance is a bad place to, or is a hard place to get to, but it's a good place to get to. The truth of the matter is this, after we have suffered a traumatic situation in our life, we have to come to the acceptance that there will be a new normal and a new way of life. Can I just say this to you tonight? I thought about Miss Beverly as I was studying today and reading back through all of this. Life will never be the same for her again because her husband of many, many years has gone home to be with the Lord. There has to be a new normal that comes into our life. You say, preacher, how do I get to that new normal? It's not by me. It's not by a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm going to tell you the way you get that new normal in your life. It's by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see as we look tonight that He will help us with that. Reality is simply this. There's no simple path through grief. Grief is intense. It's untamed and deeply painful. It's difficult to describe, let alone walk through. Grief is not an event. Grief is a journey. Can I see everybody all right tonight? Grief is not an event. Grief is a journey. Grief is not something you get over overnight. Matter of fact, it might be something that you never get over. You know, some people says, well, man, you just need to get over it. There's some things, honey, you're never going to get over. You're never going to get over. But God will help you to grow during your grief. Reality is there's no simple path through it. Why? Because it's not an event, it's a journey. And on this journey, there's a lot of difficult questions that arise. What about this? How long will this last? How long will this last? How long will this go on in my life? What about this? Will I ever feel normal again? Will I ever feel normal again? What about this one? And a pastor says this about 22 times a week. Am I losing my mind? You ever felt that way before, man? Some situation has arose in your life. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a tragic accident. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that as a young person. Maybe it was some situation down at the schoolhouse. And we think, man, am I losing my mind? What about this? Is it okay to feel happy sometimes? I've had that said to me in times of grieving. Preacher, I feel wrong that I'm laughing a little bit. I feel wrong that I'm smiling a little bit. Well, can I just say something to you? For the child of God, I'm glad that in the midnight hours, we can smile a little bit. And it is all right to do that. Is it okay to feel happy sometimes? If something's wrong with me, is something wrong with me? Because I cry all the time. Is something wrong with me because I cry all the time? What about this? How can I be fine one moment and feel like my heart is literally breaking the next moment? You see, grief leaves us with all kinds of questions. Feeling grief doesn't mean, I want you to hear me tonight, feeling grief does not mean that your faith is weak. Feeling grief simply means that you're human. I grew up and at 16 years old, I joined the fire department. And my whole life, I wanted to do that, and I joined the fire department at 16 years old. And for years, matter of fact, up until December this last year, was active in that. And you know, I'm very active in the law enforcement side now. But I remember Miss Vicky growing up, and Brother Brian, y'all was in that field too years ago, back when the world was still black and white in the 1900s. And the mentality then was, we just sucked it up and got over it. Brother Aaron, that's what they used to tell us, man. You know, you run a bad call, you just suck it up and get over it. But I want to say something to you. We just don't suck things up and get over it. Are you with me tonight? Feeling grief is not that your faith is weak. Feeling like your heart is broken, that don't mean that you don't have any faith in God. It means that you are human, man. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but if we was to take time, and we will be here before the series is over, if we was to take time and go to John chapter number 11, man, whenever you get to John chapter number 11, Mary and Martha's upset because Lazarus is dead. They're upset about that, and Jesus comes to them, and you know what Jesus does? Verse number 35, man, it's the shortest verse, we all know it. Jesus wept. Jesus cried that day. And I began to think about this, and man, when you go back and read that story, I did this afternoon, and you know, I've tried my best to find in that story how some preacher says, well, you know, the reason Jesus was like that was because of their lack of faith. I can't find that nowhere in the story, but what I can find is the Lord Jesus Christ that loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and when he got there, Jesus grieved with them. Jesus cried with them. Do you think Jesus' faith was weak? No. Jesus knew what he was fixing to do in just a few verses down in the chapter. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But you know what he done? He took time to sit down with somebody and cry with them. And it shows us that grief doesn't mean that we're weak or that our faith is weak. It just simply means that we are human. During times of grief, we have so many questions. I thought about this. Even if we do not get the answer we want, God will give us the answer we need. Can I say that again? You might need to write that down. Even if we do not get the answer we want, God will give us the answer we need. You see, His ways, and I'll preach on this first before it's all said and done. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The ways of God is not always my ways, and God's thoughts are not all. He thinks different. His ways are different, but we do know this. He's holy, he's righteous, he's pure, and he's never made a mistake. Jesus has the answers we need. The very reason grief feels so disruptive to us. Now, I'm about to where I want to talk to you for just a minute tonight. The reason grief feels so disruptive to us, it disrupts our life. You ever had just what you thought was a normal day and all of a sudden your life was completely disruptive? It may have been a phone call. It may have been someone knocking on your door. It may have been sitting in the doctor's office because you had some tests run, but all of a sudden your life is disruptive. The reason grief feels so disruptive to us is that grief was, hear me tonight, was never a part of God's original plan for mankind. Did you know God never intended for you to experience grief? Now, I'm going to show it to you from the Word of God, so you might as well go ahead and say amen and help me, and we'll get on to choir practice. God never intended, hear me, for us to suffer death. God never intended for us to suffer separation. God never intended for any of that to happen. The reason that there is grief today is because man chose to mess up in the garden. Take your Bible, go with me to Genesis chapter number 1. We'll stay the majority of the message right here for the conclusion of it. Genesis chapter number 1. I'm watching the time. Brother Matt said that he won't keep you over 2 hours. Genesis chapter number 1. I'll show you three simple things tonight. Number one, a good creation. So, preacher, I thought you was preaching on grief. Stay with me. There's a good creation. There is, you remember what I said a while ago, God's never made a mistake. So when he made man, that was not a mistake. God in his foreknowledge, because God knows past time, present time, future time, all at the same time, and we can't comprehend that. But God knew what would happen, and he still made man, and he still made creation. And look what he says about it, chapter number one. Verse number 1, and God saw the light, that it was, what's the next word? Good. Look with me in verse number 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was, what's the next word? Okay, what's the next word? Good. Everybody say good together. 1, 2, 3, good. All right. Now, look in verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was. All right, go to verse 18. Look what your Bible said in verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Look in verse number 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God said that it was. Look in verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said that it was good. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God made a good creation. And you know what God said every time he made something? He said that it's good. He said, that's good. That's good. That's good. You know what he was doing? He was pastoring Baptists, and he was having to amen himself. He said, that's good. There is a good creation. But watch this, verse number 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. See, some of y'all didn't read your Bible. You just got stuck in routine like normal Baptist does. It was what? Very good. It was very good. When God created man, it was different. And he said this, it is very good. Why? Because we was created in the image of God. There was a good creation. Not only did God create a perfect world, but he created us with an incredible captivity for relationship. The one thing during creation that God said was not good. Are you with me? Chapter number 2, verse 18. Chapter number 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. You see, in this good creation, the only thing that God said that was not good is this, that man was alone in the garden. So you know what God does? God being who he is, knowing the best thing, he created man, another man. If your Bible says that, please see me after service. He created man, a woman. And why? Because he said it was good for man not to be alone. Let me tell you the reason why. In the heart of man, there was a want and a desire to fellowship. That's the reason God created man. And hear me well. God wanted to walk with man in the cool of the day. He wanted to fellowship with man in the cool of the day. And God made a good creation. And the only thing that he said was bad about that was that man was alone, but he made him a helpmeet. Now, it's very interesting. One of the reasons that grief is related to death or broken friendships is so lasting is that relationships are meaningful. Relationships are meaningful. Why was man created? To fellowship with God. And you know what? In chapter number 6 of Genesis, I'm not going to take time to go there, but in chapter number 6 of Genesis, read it when you get home. You'll find the word grieved for the first time in chapter number 6. And it said that the heart of God was grieved. God himself was grieved, grief in his life. Why was the heart of God grieved? Here's the reason why. Whenever you study the verses prior to that, it said that man done continuously everything that was right in his own eyes. You see, when you're doing what's right in your own eyes, you're not in fellowship with God. And why was God's heart breaking? Why was he grieved? Here's the reason why. Man did not want to fellowship with him. And let me tell you the reason. And I'm going to move to number 2 because I want to get done with this tonight, or this part of it. But let me tell you the reason that it's so hard. Now, we can all say this. I don't need them in my life anyway. They can just go on. But let me tell you the reason that it's so hard when a friend breaks fellowship, or because of biblical reasons you have to break fellowship with somebody. Boy, it got quiet on that one. Because of biblical reasons, you have to break fellowship with somebody. Let me just run this rabbit right here because there's been a little talk about this. So I'll just go ahead and shoot this one real quick before he runs away. If somebody left this church and they're running their mouth about this church and about me as the pastor, you need to break fellowship with them. You ain't got no business talking to them. You ain't got no business hanging around them. You ain't got no business being on the phone with them. Matter of fact, you need to get right with God because you've been doing it. And God said that it was good. Because that's the Bible. Well, preacher, we just need to reach out to them. No, friend, when they're running their mouth about the preacher and his wife and the house of God that loved them and was there for them, you don't need to be no friends to them. You need to mark them and have nothing to do with them. It's what the Bible said do. Amen. Now, where was I at? God's heart was grieved because man broke fellowship with him. The reason it grieves our heart is because we're invested in that and because we do long for fellowship. Number one, there was a good creation. Number two, I'm headed somewhere. There was a bad fall. There was a bad fall. What happened in Genesis chapter number 3? If you're familiar with it, you know all about the entrance of sin into the world. Satan tempted Eve to disobey God, and she did. Then Adam did, and now we're all born sinners, according to Genesis chapter number 3. The moment the fall plunged the human race into suffering, that very moment, suffering began in the world. The Bible is clear that the introduction of sin was the introduction of death. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every bit of our grief that you and I experience now can be traced back to one simple thing. It was Adam and Eve messing up in the garden. God created the world. God said that it was good. God wanted to walk with man in the cool of the day, but man chose to do something different, and now because of that, God's good creation had a bad fall, and grief is here. The reason we die today is because of sin. Are you hearing me? That's the reason we die today. You say, preacher, what if Adam and Eve would have never sinned in the garden? They'd still be alive. You say, do you believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. They'd still be alive today. Wherefore is by one man, I just showed it to you, the word of God, sin entered in the world, and death by sin. That was the product of it. Now, let me show you this. There's a good creation. There's a bad fall. But right here's where I want to get to. And again, I'm watching the time. Just stay with me. Give me about 5 or 10 more minutes, and I'll be done. There is a real rescue. There is a real rescue. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. God created us and said that we was good, and then we messed it all up. And because of that, grief entered into the world. So now do we have to live with this grief? Do we have to face this grief every day? Do we have to go through hardship? Yes, but the truth is this. We don't have to face it alone. We don't have to go through it alone. We don't have to have a bad day alone. We don't have to get a bad phone call alone. You see, Jesus came into the world, amen, and because of that, he rescues us, and now we have someone to help us in our grief. Watch this. Jesus, the very Son of God, came to the earth, took on human flesh, lived a perfectly sinless life, and then gave his life on the cross for our sins. Our penalty was death, so Jesus died as our substitute. You may ask, well, preacher, what in the world does this have to do with grief? It has everything to do with grief. Let me show you something. This gives us the framework to understand that the suffering we feel is not the way God intended our life to function. When we find, or when you find yourself questioning, is this normal? The answer is no. Is it normal for me to feel this way? No, it's not. Is it normal for my heart to break when a loved one dies? No. Is it normal for a loved one to die? No. Is it normal for someone to do you wrong and betray you? No. None of that is normal tonight. But because of the sin in the garden, God didn't create man to do that. God didn't create man to face grief. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? God didn't create us for that. He created us to walk continually in a perfect world, in a perfect fellowship, but man messed it up. So no, it's not normal. Said, preacher, it just don't feel normal to hurt this way. It's not normal, man. Sometimes I get so mad when I'm talking to families and morons come up. And they say things like this. Well, this is just normal. This is what happened. No, this is not normal. This is not what God intended. Man, y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I just showed it to you out of the Word of God. That is not normal. It's not normal to feel the way that we do sometimes. But because man sin, we do. It's not normal. It's a weight no human was intended to ever carry. And you need God's grace to ever carry it through. You remember what the Bible said? Let me just give you a couple things about the real rescue. In Isaiah 53:3, he said this, "He is despised and rejected of men." Who is he referring to? He's referring to Jesus Christ. He is prophesying about Jesus Christ. He said he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, listen to this, and acquainted with grief. You see that normal that you should have never experienced. Jesus is acquainted with that. Let me tell you the reason why. He that knew no sin became sin. Let me tell you the reason why. He lived 33 years or 33 and a half years here on this earth. He did suffer heartache. He did suffer heartbreak. Do you not think that it broke his heart the day that Judas betrayed him in the garden? He knew that that was happening. Do you not think that it broke his heart when Peter cursed God and said that he never knew him? Do you not think that that broke his heart? Why, sure it broke his heart, man. He was acquainted with grief and sorrow. Listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why did he say that we can come boldly before the throne room of grace? Here's the reason why. We have a high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to hurt. He knows what it's like to suffer pain. He knows what it's like for his buddy to die and be buried. He knows what it's like for one of his main people to betray him. You see, Jesus was acquainted with that, and we can come boldly before the throne room of grace, and we can make our petitions to him tonight. Why? Because he knows how we feel. Watch this. The moment, the most glorious aspect of the gospel and the grief is this, is that it is the reality of Christ's rescue that assures us he has conquered death and is able to offer us a real rescue from being swallowed up in grief. Here's what he said in closing, 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this, God never intended for us to face what we face, for us to go through what we go through. Sin is the reason that we face every bit of that. Oh, but aren't you thankful that Jesus came to this earth? He lived, he died, he resurrected, he arose, he ascended back into the heavens, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. He knows how you feel. He knows how it is to have his heart broke. He knows how it is to walk through the storms of this life. And he looks over at God and he says, hey, I give my life for that one. Help that one right now. Matter of fact, you know what? When you study the Bible, and I give you this, Miss Tanya, come start playing. The child of God actually has two interceding for him. Think about it. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession on our behalf. But if you'll go to Romans, you know what you'll find in Romans? The Bible said this, that the Holy Spirit make intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. Not only is Jesus praying for me in my times of trouble tonight, but the Holy Ghost is praying for me in my times of trouble tonight. You see, yes, it's hard days. Yes, there's times that we don't understand everything. Yes, there's a lot of things that's not normal. Yes, it's not normal to feel the grief that we do. Can I just say this? Yes, it's okay to cry. Yes, it's all right not to understand it. It's not that your faith is weak. I don't believe that by no means. Grief is a process that we go through. Oh, but aren't you thankful that in those times we've got not only Jesus, but we've got the Holy Ghost. And when we don't know how to pray, when we don't know how to intercede, when we don't know what to say because our heart is so broken and the storm is so bad, thank God for us that saved tonight. The Holy Spirit takes it to the Son, and the Son takes it to the Father. There is a rescue in the time of grief in our life. So to wrap it all up tonight, as we begin this study, we need to understand the very basics of this thing. The original plan of God was for us to never face it. I'm going to say it again. Maybe some of y'all agree with me time I get done. Original plan of God was never for us to face this. Original plan of God, Brother Josh, was for me to never sit with your family the other morning when your dad went home to be with the Lord. The original plan of God, Miss Amanda, was for me not to sit with your grandfather on Friday night. Boy, I'm glad I got there when I did. He was still conscious, and we laughed and talked. Sean was picking on him and said that he's going to go kill all of his deer. And he said, no, they was for Nicholas, and Nicholas was going to take him hunting. And that emotion, that it's okay to use that word. That emotion that you're going through right now and you feel, it's not normal. God never intended that, church. But when man messed up, you know what God done? God didn't run to the doctor and say, man, I need some Xanax, and I need this, and I need that. I've created something, and now they've messed it all up, and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, the Bible said that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Let me tell you exactly what done. When God saw that man messed up, he had another plan. Amen. And you know what? Let me just back up and rephrase that. It was his plan all along. It wasn't a plan B. It was his plan all along. Let me clarify that. You know what God done? God said, I've got a plan. And the reason I've got this plan is because I want to help you. I want to fellowship with you. And you know what? Sometimes the greatest times of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is in grief. Because we're seeking Him more than we normally do. My heart's desire over the next few weeks, or even maybe few months on Sunday nights, is that as we look at grief, we can learn to grow while we're there. The storm's always going to come. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's always going to come. Matter of fact, I was preaching Friday night. And I said, none of us know what the future holds. Man, little did I know I was going to go out and sit down in the truck and start my truck and look down, there'd be a text message. Brother Fred, they was keeping him at the hospital. I was hoping he's just going to get there and they're going to send him back home. And I told Brother Sean, I said, I called him. I said, I got the text message. I'm in Floyd, Virginia. It'll probably be 2.5-3 hours, but I'm on my way. I'll be there in just a little while. He said, no, you need to just go home and go to bed. I said, I'll see you in a little bit. Boy, little did I know, Brother Matt, that I was going to have to get in the truck and drive down the road and end up sitting with the family in a midnight hour. But aren't you glad that when that comes, for the child of God, we have a rescuer in that time. We have someone, a comforter, a paraclete, someone that comes alongside of us. And we don't have to get bitter. And we don't have to get bitter. And we don't have to get bitter. But through that time, we can grow in our grief through His grace.